Have you seen Chuck Norris lately? He's still kicking butt and staying active well into his 80s. What's even more shocking is he looks more jacked than ever and seems to have more energy than guys half his age. And it's all thanks to Morning Kick, a revolutionary new daily drink from Roundhouse Provisions that combines ultra-potent greens like spirulina and kale with probiotics, prebiotics, collagen, and even ashwagandha. Just mix with water, stir, and enjoy. Unlike other green drinks out there, this one tastes exactly like strawberry lemonade and has hundreds of five-star reviews. Go to roundhouseprovisions.com/save44 for up to 44% off your regular priced order. Plus, every purchase is backed by a 90-day money-back guarantee. So if you want to experience smoother digestion, a boost of energy, and just an overall healthier body, then go to roundhouseprovisions.com/save44 today. These statements have not been evaluated by the Food and Drug Administration. This product is not intended to diagnose, treat, cure, or prevent any disease. Results can vary.
How do people feel about getting Big Fitness Energy at Planet Fitness for $15 a month? They feel as thrilled as a kid the first summer they're tall enough to ride the roller coaster. That's right. When you join Planet Fitness right now, you get access to tons of equipment and free fitness training in a clean and spacious club. Don't wait. Join the judgment-free zone today for that all-day energy. Download the free Planet Fitness app and join today for $15 a month.
Hurry. Deal ends September 12th. Join today for $15 a month.
See Home Club for details.
Welcome, everyone, to SI Media with Jimmy Traina. Thank you so much for listening. Great, great conversation on this week's show with Noah Eagle. Noah will be calling men's and women's USA basketball games for NBC during the Olympics that get underway shortly. And obviously, he has a lot of jobs. Does Big Ten football for NBC, just called the French Open. Does NBA, fills in with the Brooklyn Nets. I still call them the New Jersey Nets. How about that? The Brooklyn Nets. Lot of jobs for Noah Eagle at a young age, just 27 years old. So we get into his career, the Olympics. He has some great Bill Raftery stories since his dad, Ian, has worked with Bill Raftery for so many years. And a bunch of other topics with Noah Eagle. And then, of course, we have Sal Licata and Train of Thoughts following the interview with Noah Eagle. Before we get into it, let me just give you a quick recap of what's gone on here on the SI Media podcast over recent weeks. We've had some phenomenal episodes. We had Sports Business Journal's Ben Fisher on last week to talk about the case of the NFL Sunday Ticket, DirecTV, where it all stands. So if you've had Sunday Ticket, you want to know what's going on with that case, when you'll get your money, if you'll get your money, how much money you'll get. That was on last week's episode. A couple of weeks ago, Jason McCourty talked about not being part of Good Morning Football when it returns in a couple of weeks. And Jason's always fun to talk to. That was a good interview. Pablo Torre on his unique podcast was on the podcast on this podcast recently, along with Derek Jeter and Tom Brady. So if you missed any of those episodes, go into the archives, give them a listen, subscribe to SI Media with Jimmy Traina, and leave a review on Apple. We'll be reading them in an upcoming episode, all the reviews that you leave. All right. Let's get to it now. Noah Eagle, followed by Train of Thoughts and Sal Licata. All right here, right now, on SI Media with Jimmy Traina. All right, joining me now, first time with me on the SI Media podcast, a busy, busy, busy man. And we'll be seeing a lot of him coming up soon with the Olympics. And he is Noah Eagle. Noah, how's it going?
Hi, Jimmy. It's a pleasure to be on. I feel like we're a glasses gang right now, which is always a positive in my life. But you're putting me to shame with a tan. So I was feeling excited. I'm still excited. Just one notch down.
Can you get a good tan, or you just don't go out in the sun?
You see, when I was a kid, I would get great tan. Yeah, great tan. But then as I became more of an adult and I was spending much more time inside, I thought that I could just get right back to it. And apparently it doesn't work that way. Your skin starts to adjust to its environment. So I went on a vacation finally this summer with the family, and my shoulders were burnt to a crisp, which I was not accustomed to. I was never a burner.
I'm lucky. I actually don't feel like I'm that tan. So I appreciate you saying that. So Noah will be calling the men's and women's USA basketball games for NBC and Peacock at the Paris Olympics. The opening ceremonies are next Friday, July 26th in Paris. And you will be calling, you're just going to call Team USA games only Is that
we'll have a couple non-Team USA games as well. Oh, okay. So we'll be on some of those, some Canada games, some France games, etc.
And then with the men's, you'll be with Dwayne Wade. Women's, you'll be with
LaChyna Robinson.
So let me start here. Is it, well, let me, have you done any practice games, or will the games in Paris be your first time working with both of them?
Definitely the first time working with both of them. We haven't done any practice yet, although we do get there very early and we'll have at least some time to get in the space and potentially get on headset and just do a quarter or something of maybe one of the exhibitions that we've seen, but nothing concrete yet. We've chatted a bunch. We've texted a bunch. We've talked on Zooms and whatnot. So gotten familiar with everybody, which is exciting. And we've got a great team, so I'm looking forward to it.
Is that a challenge when you have to call a game with someone for the first time, or you call so many games, you're used to it, and it's not really that big of a deal?
Yeah, I think it usually doesn't take very long to find a comfort zone with a new partner. And I've done a bunch of assignments where first time meeting someone, you step right in. I mean, I just did the French Open, and it was the first time meeting John McEnroe literally an hour before we went on the air. And then we got on the air, and it was smooth and it felt right. And I would say the same, you know, Todd Blackledge with Big Ten Saturday Night last year. We had never done a game. We had never really been on the air together until we stepped into the booth and had Penn State, West Virginia. And we both felt like we hit the ground running. So I think it usually takes maybe a quarter to just find a rhythm and really understand the tendencies of each person you're working with. But after that, you just let it rip.
You've already, in a short time, have had a lot of big assignments. You know, I think people have their own opinions of how they sort of judge the Olympics compared to other sports.
Sure.
I mean, me personally, like, you've called a Super Bowl in America, that's going to be way bigger than the Olympics. But I don't know. Is this, would you say this is the biggest assignment of your career? Is this the most exciting? Like, how do you compare the Olympics to everything else you've called?
Yeah. It's hard to put a value, I think, on each one, but it's certainly high up there. And I think part of the reason it is the teams that we have and Team USA on both the men's and women's side. You know, the women are going for a record 8th consecutive gold medal, which would make them the most dominant team in Olympic history. So that's something substantial. And they've got some legendary names, including Diana Taurasi, who's going for her 6th consecutive gold medal personally, which would be a record in its own right in the basketball world. And for the men, it's such an interesting team and in how they're designed with the generational kind of eras that we put together here, starting with the pillars of the sport and LeBron, Steph, and KD, and going all the way through to the Anthony Edwards and Tyrese Halliburtons of the world. But what stands out to me on the men's side is I think this is the best field that we've ever seen. And so, look, you can go back to 92 with the Dream Team and what that did for the sport. And I think that a lot of this is an indirect result of that. I think we saw the direct result in the early 2000s. And then this is kind of the second generation of Dream Team babies, so to speak. But I think that this competition, similar to 92, is going to draw some eyeballs and some intrigue because of that. Because for the first time in a long time, it feels like the rest of the world has legitimately caught up. We've seen that in these exhibitions. We've seen that really in the NBA with the last several MVPs being non-Americans. So I think we're going to see that now on the grandest stage. And the French team is good, and it's in France. So I do think that stands for something. But if I had to rank it with the rest of the assignments that I've done, it's certainly towards the top of the list. It'd be hard to put it with, you know, Super Bowls and Big Ten games and then NFL playoff games and NBA and doing the Clippers and doing the Nets. Like, I just have, I've been very fortunate, and I try to just be thankful for all of them as they come kind of one at a time.
So the men's Team USA, it's not like a slam dunk lock that they're winning gold medal. Okay.
No.
Cause I feel like sometimes they lose and like there's this major uproar and it's like everyone goes crazy and they flip out. So if that happens this year, it won't be as catastrophic, I guess, in years past.
Well, fair? I mean, I don't know if I could say that because think that everyone likes to react in the way that they tend to react. And I would say that reactions will still be heightened because I think most people still just have the expectation that the United States go in and dominate. I'm here to say that that's just not the case. Now, should they be favored to win gold? 1,000%. They are the most talented team up and down. They have clearly the best players as a total group. But the one thing that is interesting to me that I don't think we could say in past years, I think that almost every other team, or at least a lot of the other teams in this competition, feel like they have the claim to saying we have the best player on the floor. You look at Canada, Shai Gilgeous-Alexander, he was an MVP candidate this year. He could easily be the best player on the floor against the United States. Obviously, Serbia with Nikola Jokic is probably the best player in the world right now. I think Victor Wembanyama considers himself the best player on any floor he steps on, and he's getting close to it. Certainly, Giannis Antetokounmpo could say the same thing for Greece, and the list goes on. And I just think that the overall depth for the rest of the countries is so much greater than it's been maybe in years past. So it'll be intriguing. Again, I still fully expect the United States to win gold, but if they don't, I just don't think it's going to be as shocking or as jarring as maybe it's been in the past.
Got it. I did see, so all the men's USA basketball games will be on NBC or USA Network and Peacock. The first game is on Sunday, July 28th, 11:15 Eastern in the morning, and the U.S. is 14-point favorites against Serbia. So maybe Jokic plus 14 there is, if you need some extra interest, that sounds intriguing to me.
I didn't realize that you could bet on the Olympics. This is an entirely new world. Now, I know the betting world is taking over, but
yeah,
I felt like the Olympics were somehow so pure over the year. No.
You can bet on anything.
That's a good point.
In fact, there was a story a year or two ago where some sports book put out like a press release, and they wanted to make a big story about the fact that they were offering betting odds on the Special Olympics. And
seriously.
Yeah, and people freaked out, and there was a lot of backlash, and I think they had to like not do that. So
yeah,
the reason I bring that up is you can bet on anything.
Interesting.
In 2024. Well,
I definitely knew that you could bet on some obscure sports. I had friends in college that would bet like European darts and Canadian truck race driving. So I guess that it would make sense that Serbia 14.5 point dog in that first opening U.S. game. That could be some good action for some people. Let's put it that way.
I looked that up specifically because you were coming on. I said, let me check the first game. And I saw minus 14 for the U.S. So I want to get into your career a little bit, because your resume at this stage of your life is just ridiculous. And I mean that in the positive way. But let me start with this. You graduated from Syracuse 2019.
Yes.
Did you have trouble sort of launching your career? Because we all know in very early January 2020 was COVID. Right. So did you graduate in time enough where you were able to align things? How did COVID factor in? Because when COVID happened, a lot of people thought about, oh my God, people graduating college and trying to get jobs, everything shut down. Did COVID factor into the start of your career since you graduated in 2019?
Yeah, I mean, I got really fortunate. You know, I got the Clipper job when I graduated from Syracuse in 2019. And so I had started that year. So we were already off and running. We were into March, and I will never forget going to Golden State, and Doc Rivers was the head coach at the time, and he sent a text to everybody in the traveling party, and they had to cut down the traveling party, and we weren't sure why. You know, I think that it was still kind of that weird area where people were like, what are we losing our minds about here? It feels like people are buying too much toilet paper. Why is that the case? Why can't I get hand sanitizer? So I remember Doc sent a message to our whole team, essentially, and it said, San Francisco is the highest rate of COVID-19 in all of America right now. Do not leave the hotel unless you absolutely have to. And if you do leave the hotel, please alert somebody that you do. The objective is to get in, get a win, and get out. That was basically it. And so that's exactly what happened. We got there. It was eerie because it was the last game before they were going to remove fans. The Nets were going to play there 2 days later with zero fans in the building. That was going to be the first game without fans. So Clippers dominate. We take the trip back to LA. That next day is when Gobert tested positive. And at that point now, nobody knows what's going to happen. And I think I waited a couple weeks. I was just trying to see, hey, maybe we do something, maybe we're not doing anything. And then finally got the go ahead. I went back home to New Jersey with my family and stayed there for a little while. And then, you know, I just waited it out and wanted to see what was going to happen. And certainly my main focus was with the Clippers and making sure that I was going to be there for whatever I was called on. And then tennis started back up. I got asked to do that in June back in LA. And ironically, COVID actually ended up being probably somewhat of a positive for my career because there was so much stuff going on remote. And because I did all the games for the Clippers out of LA, and there's a lot out of LA that I could do, I ended up doing a ton more remote stuff at Fox, at Tennis Channel, and certainly with the Clippers and whoever else. So it ended up, and Sirius XM, you know, I just ended up getting a lot more because of it. And so I actually think, as much as it was terrible, as much as it was a terrible livelihood experience, and I was definitely burnt, it was a great thing for my career. And I tried to take as much advantage as I could.
Ah, that's interesting. All right. So you graduated in 2019. So I think you're around like 26 years old right now.
27. And if I go
through 27. Okay. And if I go through everything you've done already, you mentioned the Clippers. You've done the Nickelodeon games for the NFL, the Super Bowl, Big Ten Saturday night on NBC. You did NFL for Fox, tennis, college basketball, the Nets. I mean, is it a conscience effort to say yes to everything, get as much experience as possible? Would that be advice you'd have to other people trying to get into the play-by-play? Because that is impressive to have all that done already at this time.
Yeah, I mean, Jimmy, that was the advice that I got, certainly from my dad, but also I remember before I got to Syracuse, right before my freshman year, Dan Duva, who was the voice of the Syracuse Crunch and then was also an adjunct professor, he's now the voice of the Vegas Golden Knights on radio, but he was the one who told me before I got to college, do everything. And that was not just sports, that was news, entertainment, whatever else you could do every sport possible. So when I got to Syracuse, my whole philosophy was I want to take advantage of any opportunity that's in front of me. And so I did every sport. I was any of the roles, producer, director, would I try all of it. I ran teleprompter for a year. I ran a camera for a year. I just did all of it to see what I would like and what I didn't like. You know, I hosted a game show in the area. And so I just did as much as I could. And I think I took that mentality with me into the start of my career. And for the first 5 years here, 1000%. It was just say yes and figure it out along the way. You know, if something was offered, just keep compiling because you just never know. You might say yes to something you never thought you'd do. And it might be the thing that changes the trajectory of your life. It might be the thing that you fall in love with above everything else. So yeah, I'd say that's been my mentality. I'd say then now moving forward, the more that you do, that you can start to be a little bit more selective, but I still feel like I'm in a stage of my life and my career that I accept the challenge and I want the challenge and I want to see how far I can push myself kind of towards that line. And so we'll see what that line looks like in the next couple of years.
Do you have a favorite sport to call?
Yeah, basketball. I was always a passionate basketball fan. I'm a basketball junkie, a historian, all of it. I love the sport from a young age, despite being 5'7¾", 5'8" on the best day possible. With zero athletic ability, I was gravitated toward it really from the very start.
So how do you manage doing Clippers radio and some Nets TV during the season? What kind of juggling act is that like?
Yeah, so I'm no more Clippers for me. So it's moved back to the East Coast, which, you know, I'm from here originally, from Northern New Jersey.
Oh, right, because you were doing the Big Ten also for NBC. Exactly. My bad. Yeah. All right.
It's been good though. It's been a nice adjustment, I would say, to be back in the Northeast.
And you do Chargers preseason as well?
Correct. Yes.
You know, when I had your dad on, I don't know, sometime in the past year, and I gave him shit for still doing Jets preseason games. I'm like, Ian, you've been an announcer for like 100 years. You thought of as one of the all-time great play-by-play men of all time. You're the number 2 on CBS, you call in the tournament fight. Like, do you really? And the Jets, I mean, just a pathetic franchise. What are you doing their preseason games for? And I brought that up to Kevin Harlan as well. And they both were like, listen, you know, Kevin Harlan was really interesting. He said he uses that to get his voice actually in shape for the season. Obviously, you're younger, you're starting out, so I get it. But I guess if your dad's doing preseason, then you have no excuse not to say the preseason is beneath you.
Yeah, I mean, I guess that's definitely one way to look at it. I'm similar to what Kevin, I'm sure my dad said the same thing, but for me, it's the best thing for, there's two things for me. One, I do it with Dan Fouts, who I've known since I was 13 years old. So that's awesome.
That's really cool.
Yeah, we go back and his wife, Jerry, is always around and she's wonderful. So I get to hang with them, which is great. So that's the first part of it. The second part of it is it gets me in a rhythm for when my real season starts. And so this year I'll miss the first game, but I'll do the final two. So even just getting those two preseason games before I go to Ann Arbor week one, it just gets you into a much, much clearer rhythm so that I can hit the ground running for the games that quote unquote matter. That's the main reason for it.
All right. So I mentioned all the stuff you've done. I just want to be clear about this. Have you ever called an MLB game?
Never called one. I hosted studio for Fox for MLB.
NHL.
Never done NHL. I've never done a hockey game, period. I've not done golf. I've done one Nickelodeon golf event, actually. One Nickelodeon golf. Yeah.
MMA.
No, definitely not. It's never
WWE is a no also.
That's a no.
All right. So out of those five, MLB, NHL, golf, MMA, WWE, if you can call one, which would you want to do?
I'd say I put golf at the top. That's a good question. Yeah, I would say golf probably goes number one. And then after that, it would be an interesting decision. I think, unfortunately, it's not because I don't like the sport. I would say I'd put NHL at the bottom because I've never done a hockey game. And to really be into the intricacies of the NHL would take a long time. Like, at least I follow Major League Baseball. But when you're doing NBA and college basketball, it's impossible to also follow NHL at the level you have to. So that would probably be at the bottom. I'd be intrigued. I'd be more into boxing than MMA, honestly. I do like boxing. I think I'd be down to do some boxing over MMA or WWE, but I'd be intrigued by them. And to go back to what I said, they're all a challenge for me. So I'll accept any of them.
All right. It seems you're busy enough, but I just had to ask if we were going to expand that already lengthy resume. Family members excluded, what announcers did you love listening to growing up and even now? And I don't think broadcasters say, like, I'm going to try to emulate that guy everyone wants to be their own, but who role models, announcers you enjoyed, if you want to throw a few names out there.
Yeah. I think you take bits and pieces from broadcasters. You don't necessarily, I mean, my dad has the great stories from when he was a kid that he literally copied Marv Albert and just wanted to be Marv. And he would get up in the morning and his parents would say, what do you want for breakfast? And he's like, over easy. Yes. You know, a lot of that. But I would say it wasn't like that for me. You know, my brain's at the top, though, as a basketball guy and hearing bang and hearing the big calls. And, you know, that's what you want at the end of the day, is you want to be a part of big calls like that. And especially for an NBA fan. You know, Joe Buck was always high just because of one, I always felt like he carried himself really well with his strong presence on the air. But two, obviously, with the similarities with the upbringing and having a father who did it, I always looked up to him and Kenny Albert for how they handled it and how they've gone about carving their own path. I think Dave Pasch is excellent, does just really good work. He's really solid. No matter what you put him on, you know he's going to deliver. I think Adam Amin is outstanding himself. I think Jason Benetti is really, I mean, as smart of a broadcaster as you're ever going to meet in your life. And so you take what he says and the vocabulary and the sense of humor, and you can blend all of that together. And I think there are some young up and comers and younger guys who people will start to get to know a little bit more. I think Mike Monaco is really, really good. And people are going to start to recognize that. You know, I went to school with Drew Carter, who's as talented as they come. So I just think that we're in an era right now where there are a lot of really, really good sports broadcasters. So we get to reap the rewards of those. But those kind of early names. And then certainly I can't leave out my current teammate now, who I would say was probably the guy outside of my dad and Mike who I looked up to among the most, which would be Mike Tirico. And that was mostly because I think you put him in any role and he's elite in every role. So you put him in play-by-play, he's elite. You put him as a host, he's elite. You want to send him out as a reporter, he's elite. He just does everything at an elite level. And that's really what I aspire to do.
You Syracuse guys always stick together. It's unbelievable.
That's what we do best.
Yeah,
really. Yeah.
I mentioned all the gigs you've had, and you got, I mean, I, you know, people come on here and sometimes they've got something going on in the background, but you got a pretty good flex going on. I see your Emmy back there over your shoulder. What was that like winning the sports Emmy?
Pretty surreal. I think unexpected in a lot of ways, you know, that it would happen early like this. It was mostly special because both my parents were there. You know, my dad was nominated and I was hoping that we would get the Albatross in the double eagle, but maybe one of the years in the future that could happen. But it was just, it was so nice to have them there, to have the whole NBC contingent as well. And I think that I felt this level of appreciation for myself. And I appreciated the fact that I was there in general. I was with these amazing people that I looked up to my entire life, and getting to see Joe Buck beforehand, getting to see Ernie Johnson, who was someone that, I mean, for me was like, I know he's known as the Godfather, but that's what it was. So to talk to him and to talk to Greg Olson and so many of these others that I really respect in the industry was cool in its own right. And then to feel this level of appreciation from NBC as well of, hey, this was well-deserved, well-earned, and we appreciate what you brought to us in year one and excited for the future. I think that was all just a culmination of everything. But, you know, it's certainly not what I do it for. And I know you hear that all the time, the cliche. I truly feel that way. I do this because I love it, but it certainly doesn't hurt to have it happen. And it was a special moment.
And obviously these networks are putting a lot of faith in you. You got to call a NFL playoff game for NBC last year. You and Todd Blackledge called a game. Mentioned you have the Big Ten schedule on NBC with Todd Blackledge. You're doing the Olympics, Team USA, men's and women's for NBC. French Open. You did the Super Bowl at Nickelodeon, I mentioned. The NFL playoff game, was that as much pressure as you felt, or did you don't think that way and it's just any other game?
Yeah, I'd say probably more the latter. I think that the only reason you would feel any more pressure is because everyone around, there's a level of angst that comes with doing a game that you know is going to be watched by as many people as it was. I mean, we had, I think, about 30 million viewers on it. So for everyone going into it, when you know you have that many eyeballs, obviously there's going to be this level of, hey, we need to deliver. At the same time, I think we all looked at it, and our whole crew is great. Not just Todd and myself, but Catherine Tappan, our producer, Matt Marvin, our director, Charlie Dammeyer, is one of the best in the business. So we're really lucky to have an outstanding crew that NBC put together. I think the way we looked at it overall, and we had Fred Godelli with us for most of the season as well to kind of guide us and make sure that we're heading in the right direction, who is probably the greatest football producer to ever do it. And what Fred told us before we had Notre Dame, Ohio State, week 4 of the college season, which was our biggest college football game of the year, and went down to the very end, last play, basically touchdown to win the game. What Fred told us in our production meeting the night before was what stuck with us, I think, when we got to the playoff game. And what he said is two things. One, you're all here for a reason. You're all chosen to do this for a reason. So remember that. Don't think, you know what, I don't deserve to be here. Don't think that, hey, we just got lucky with this. You're here for a reason. Remember, you're here for that. And then the second thing that he said that really stood out, and I feel like that's what we did for the playoff game, is when the game gets good, do less. It's what we did definitely Notre Dame, Ohio State. And if you really go back on that first half and third quarter when the game was good, we tried to let the game, the atmosphere, and what was happening in front of us do the heavy lifting for us. And then fourth quarter, when it becomes a little more out of hand, that's when you have to step in and really start to unload your notes. But it was a fun experience. It was an experience that hopefully one day we get to do again. And we just enjoyed being with each other for it and feeling like it was a nice culmination of year number one together.
Yeah, I'm always interested if broadcasters understand. I mean, I know they do, but how much they think about. I mean, there's a big difference between doing a college football game on a Saturday night when there's a million college basketball football games going on, a standalone NFL playoff game, 30 million people. You got people like me who are watching to see what the announcers are going to do. I mean, that's a whole different animal. So, but you guys, if I remember correctly, got almost all positive reviews, which is, I mean, listen, that game got Drew Brees fired basically the year before, 2 years before. So like, you know, you go in there and I'm sure you have your own theory on how you read reviews or if you read anything or not, but they were almost all positive from what I remember. So that's huge.
Yeah, we got lucky. And I think that I've been fortunate with a lot of these broadcasts. You know, I was in the right place at the right time with the Nickelodeon ones, where those similarly got a lot of positive response. And I think for a lot of people, it brought out a lot of happy feelings and nostalgia and whatever else. And it was just this perfect blend that eventually led to that positive reaction. So a lot of people already just associate me with that and with those feelings. So I'm very thankful that that's the case. If it was the opposite, and I'm sure at some point it always goes that way. Like, that's the way I always look at it, is it evens out over time. And so for me, as long as I feel like I'm putting in the right amount of effort to prepare for a game, I'm treating everybody the right way along the way, I'm doing my due diligence to make sure that I'm really taking every assignment as seriously as possible, then it's all good. And I know I have the opinions of those that I value. I have the opinions of the people I work directly with, of my family, of my close friends, and that's who I really stick with. But yeah, it's hard not to see everything. It's impossible, in fact, not to see everything. And if anybody tells you, no, I just avoid all of it, they're probably lying, because there's some way, shape, or form that someone is going to send them something in which they see it.
Do you remember, like, the worst thing you've read about yourself?
I do. Yeah, I do. I mean, it was honestly kind of funny, though. So I kind of laugh. You know, the Jimmy Kimmel mean tweets, it felt like one of those. So I.
Yeah. Yeah.
2 years ago, I guess, or almost 3 years ago, I was doing an Arkansas game. It was Arkansas, Missouri, Black Friday at Arkansas. And it was a 3-man booth, me, Rick Neuheisel, Aaron Murray, Jenny Dell on the sideline. And it started to be a blowout. Arkansas had a great year. Sam Pittman really cemented himself as the head coach of the future. And he was awesome with us. So it was great. And we're in the fourth quarter. We invite Gene Steratour on to review a touchdown. And at some point it was getting so long in this review that Rick Neuheisel asked Gene, "Hey Gene, how was your Thanksgiving?" And Gene says, "You know, Rick, it was a great traditional Italian Thanksgiving." And so I had the opportunity to just say, "Oh, you know what I think of Italian Thanksgiving? I think of Tony Soprano saying, 'Time for turkey sandwiches,' you know, where he throws it."
Yeah. At the grandfather. Janice's boyfriend. Yeah.
Exactly. Yeah. Correct. Yeah. Exactly. So he throws the, he said, "Time for turkey sandwiches." I did the impression. And someone tweeted, "Whoever did that Tony Soprano impression should have to face the North Korean justice system." That's the one that always will stick with me.
Reasonable. Very reasonable.
Yeah, I said, "But even if I did, what would happen?" And they go, "What'd you do?" I go, I did a Tony Soprano impression, a bad one during Arkansas, Missouri. Like, what a bad him. I don't know what the reaction is.
I have to say, when you were telling that story, in my brain, I'm going, how is this going to lead to a negative comment? I couldn't feel. I'm like, that's a great reference. That's a phenomenal, like, playoff of what Steratore did. You got the scene right. I couldn't figure it out, but okay. So they didn't like the Tony
impression. Yeah,
impression. Yeah. Got it.
They felt that it was unnecessary and really just poorly done.
And they want North Korea to handle it.
They do. They want North Korea to step in.
Fair. All right. I want to ask you two things here before we wrap up. I was doing a little research. Was on your Wikipedia page, and I was just wondering if you can confirm, deny, or explain this sentence on your Wikipedia page. It says, quote, "Growing up, he, Noah, considered working as a television dentist in a role similar to Dr. Oz or Dr. Phil."
Have you seen Chuck Norris lately? He's still kicking butt and staying active well into his 80s. What's even more shocking is he looks more jacked than ever and seems to have more energy than guys half his age. And it's all thanks to Morning Kick, a revolutionary new daily drink from Roundhouse Provisions that combines ultra-potent greens like spirulina and kale with probiotics, prebiotics, collagen, and even ashwagandha. Just mix with water, stir, and enjoy. Unlike other green drinks out there, this one tastes exactly like strawberry lemonade and has hundreds of 5-star reviews. Go to roundhouseprovisions.com/save44 for up to 44% off your regular priced order. Plus, every purchase is backed by a 90-day money-back guarantee. So if you want to experience smoother digestion, a boost of energy, and just an overall healthier body, then go to roundhouseprovisions.com/save44 today. These statements have not been evaluated by the Food and Drug Administration. This product is not intended to diagnose, treat, cure, or prevent any disease. Results can vary.
Why are so many dogs suffering from health issues? Actress Katherine Heigl, who's helped save over 16,000 dogs through her foundation, says she's seeing more issues with dogs' joints, odors, and health than ever before. And after doing a ton of research, she feels there's one place we can look to support any dog's health: their food. So she decided to create something she could actually feel good about feeding her dogs. It's called Superfood Complete. Superfood Complete is made with over 30 of the healthiest ingredients on the planet, including several superfoods vital to your dog's health. Badlands Ranch also sponsors the Jason Debus Heigl Foundation, which has helped rescue thousands of dogs and place them in loving homes. Dogs across America are trying this food and experiencing amazing health benefits. Go to badlandsranch.com/save50 and order right now to get up to 50% off your regular price order with a 90-day money-back guarantee. If you want your dog to experience all these incredible things, go to badlandsranch.com/save50 today.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger. For thousands of appetizing ingredients that inspire countless mouthwatering meals. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week, and up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with points. So you can get big flavors and big savings. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Is that true?
It is unfortunately true. I was both a confident and incredibly naive child that people, you know, adults would come up to me and say, "Hey, little Noah, what do you want to be when you grow up?" And, you know, most people, it's, "I want to be an athlete," which eventually I switched to, which was really brilliant of me, or, you know, an astronaut or doctor or something. I chose TV dentist and thought that people would understand what that was. Instead, they looked at me like I was legitimately troubled, which I might have been. And
well, that's if you would have just said that you wanted to be a dentist, this totally doesn't make your Wikipedia page. I don't bring it up on this dopey podcast and nothing, but it was TV dentist that made me write this down and say, must ask about this. So
yes, TV on yourself. Its own TV. Yeah. Great. Dentist on its own, great.
Right.
Together,
right.
Not as great. Right. So, yeah, basically in my head, I think it was if Dr. Phil was Dr. Phil Amoler at like a Wednesday 2:30 time slot.
Oh, my.
Or if Dr. Oz was install a crown at Thursday 1:15. I think I eventually realized like no one's sitting on their couch in the middle of the week and saying, on this edition, how is he going to handle this root canal? No one wants that. And so eventually I also realized I don't want to go to extra school to have to do this. So why don't I eliminate the dentist part and stick with the TV side?
Okay. In your defense, now that I'm thinking about it in my head, I mean, there are reality shows that cover almost every profession.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, we have Dr. Pimple Popper on the air. So if we can watch a doctor take out cysts and all these other things, I mean, I guess a root canal, why would that be so outrageous?
Especially now with TikTok too. I feel like you're bound to find a TikTok dentist. So it's just not my vision of it. Like the TikTok dentist is going to tell you why a certain toothpaste is ADA approved. I want to see, I want to get in the weeds. I want to see it. I want to see how the sausage is made.
To me, it's surprising it hasn't happened yet.
I agree. But I honestly, they deserve to, or I should say, I deserve to get some kind of royalties if it does. I feel like I
absolutely.
Came.
Yeah. Where is the TV dentist show? All right. I want to wrap it up with this. I assume you probably get so tired of talking about your dad during interviews. And I didn't want to do a whole interview here about your dad, even though he comes on all the time and he's great. So I'm going to ask you indirectly. obviously your dad has worked forever with Bill Raftery. And every time your dad comes on, I ask him for a Bill Raftery story. I'm sure growing up as Ian's son who was working with Raftery, you must have a good Bill Raftery story to share with me and the listeners.
I mean, Raf, I've known, yes, quite literally my entire life. You know, my dad had started working with him before I was born. So my dad joined the Nets in 94 and on the radio with Michael Korn. Then the next year he gets moved up to TV with Bill. So that's 95. I'm born in 96. So I was born the following season. So he had done a full season with Raf. Then I was born, which means there's a good chance that I already had a 0.04 BAC when I was born in December of 96, just from osmosis somehow of Raf. No, we would go over to their house in New Jersey a lot. He and his wife, Joan. And I just remember there was one time, like I would sit on his pool table as like a toddler and watch the Sixers play the Hawks. And he would just be like, you like that guy right there? Kyle Korver's pretty good. I'm like, yeah, I don't know. Kyle Korver. Yeah, I'm four. I don't know. You know, like, it was just a lot of that. So, and then he's always the best thing with Bill is he's so magnanimous and same with his kids. And so we all got to know each other through the years. And then the coolest part for me was getting to do a game with him a couple years ago, like the full circle of that, of the fact that we got to do a game. And not only was it a game, we got to do Seton Hall Fairleigh Dickinson. So it was an all New Jersey matchup with two New Jersey guys, one of which I've known literally since my inception as a human being on earth. Mm-hmm. And after we finished up, we just go out to dinner. And I mean, it's every single time he somehow convinces restaurants, convinces bars to stay open past their closing time. He did it then. I went to the Fox College Football Seminar, which is also their NFL seminar. He somehow is there convincing the hotel bar to stay open until 2 a.m. When I did the first ever game I did that my dad and I did at the same time, my dad was doing it with Raf while I was in college, Syracuse at Miami. He's there afterward. He goes, hey, we got to go out, kid. So I go out with them. Literally, we're the last people in the restaurant. We go to the bar at the hotel, open till 2 a.m. I don't know how he does it. I don't know how he not only does it, but I know my dad tells it all the time. He'll be out all night and you'll see him the next morning. He's just like, fun night, huh? And I'm like, how are you okay? I'm 21 and I'm struggling. You are not, and you are very much thriving. So every story you hear about him is 1,000% factual. I love the man. I love the family and just so thankful to have them in our lives.
That's why he's a legend. I've met him a couple of times at, you know, media gatherings and stuff. And there's nothing better than what you see is what you get. There's no on-air Bill, off-air Bill. It's one Bill. So, and that's when it's always good.
Yeah, it's awesome. And so I've loved to see him do some of these USA showcases as I've gotten ready for him. So
It's been fun. When do you leave for Paris?
Leave on the 21st, Sunday. So it's coming up.
Is this your first time in Paris, or have you been?
No, I was there for the French.
Right. Obviously,
Third time. Yeah. So I've been two times for the French Open, one of which was COVID. So this last time was the first kind of real experience.
Real time.
Yeah, I'm trying to learn French, but Jimmy, it's a really difficult language.
Where would you rank Paris on your list of cities? Top five, top 10? Oh, hi. Okay.
Yeah, it's got to be. A top five probably would check out, but at minimum top 10, I would say it.
Minimum. Got it. What would be in the top two?
Well, New York. I live there, so I love it. I would say Toronto might be up there. I love Toronto. London would be high. I was last second addition to go to Dublin last year for that Notre Dame game. Dublin would be a surprise appearance, I think, in the top 10. That was
I'm not surprised by that. I can see that being a fun place. Yeah.
I think I should probably tell Raf, of course, what's wrong with you? It's a lot of
I'm surprised he didn't try to meet you there for an outing. Let me do this here so we keep everybody happy. So we got the Paris Olympic opening ceremonies on Friday, July 26th on NBC. Noah Eagle will be calling the men's and women's Team USA games. Every game on NBC or USA Network, everything, of course, on Peacock. First game will be on Sunday the 28th at 11:15 Eastern. USA 14-point favorites against Nikola Jokic. So we'll see what happens there. No, appreciate you coming on. Have a safe trip. Enjoy the Olympics and be well.
Jamie, thanks for having me, man. Appreciate it.
My pleasure. Thanks. All right, joining me now, as he does every week for our Train of Thought segment from WFAN Radio in New York, SNY TV in New York, and he's doing this on a week off.
Yes.
Look at the dedication, my buddy Salicata.
only you could get me to work on vacation.
I thought for sure you would blow this off this week.
No. Well, I like doing it. First of all, we haven't caught up, so I like catching up each week. I'm home anyway, so it's easy, you know, as long as we set up a good time. So I'm good to go.
How's the vacation going so far?
It's going pretty well, although it keeps coming back to me that a vacation with, you know, a wife and a three-year-old is not really a vacation. Like, I drop off at school, pick up at school. These are not things that I normally do. So now I'm doing that. But still, it's been good.
Well, let me ask you this, though. It's been like 5,000 degrees here where we are, and you have a pool. I hope you're at least in the pool every day.
Yeah, the problem, yesterday we were in the pool. So Monday I was trying to like just get some stuff done. So then the rest of the week I didn't have as much stuff. Yesterday we had a little bit of stuff to do, but then basically the majority of the day was in the pool. So it was nice to be in the pool with my family, just relaxing, listening to music. The problem is it's so damn hot. Even the pool is not like refreshing.
Yeah. Yeah, I skipped the pool yesterday too because it was too hot. Have you look at this. My Jimmy Trainor bobblehead fell. Have you had a moment where you've missed being on the radio because there was something you wanted to talk about?
Nah, not really.
There's nothing going on this week.
Yeah, I mean, I've had a couple of opinions on certain things. Like Pete Alonso had a really nice showing for the Mets. Really good job representing the Mets on the national stage. But ultimately, I don't care.
Why? What happened with Pete Alonso?
I guess he was awful in the Derby, and he was awful on the strikeout.
Timeout. You want to criticize Pete Alonso because he didn't perform well in the Home Run Derby? Fake, made up, not real thing.
No, but that's his thing. The reason why I would get on Alonso is because he didn't deserve to go to the All-Star game, but baseball selected him to represent the Mets because his Home Run Derby acumen, or whatever you want to call it. So then he's a flop in the Home Run Derby, 0-for-1 with the strikeout in the All-Star game, which, by the way, I did not watch a second of. I found out about it the next day. I was like, oh yeah, I forgot about that, and just saw the stats. That was it. No big deal.
That's ridiculous. I'm glad you're not on the radio this week. You can't, don't kill anyone for All-Star game and home. You could have one criticism. He should say no to doing the Home Run Derby. I wouldn't want any Yankee doing the Home Run Derby ever.
So not only did he say that, he said, if I'm not an All-Star, I'm not going to participate. So baseball selected him as the All-Star, even though he didn't deserve it over Lindor.
Oh, I see. Okay.
That's issue.
Bush League. Right. That's Bush League.
Yeah.
Right.
And then,
but that's baseball.
And then when he gets asked about it, he's like, oh, you know what? This is great to go. Like, he didn't even say Lindor should go ahead of me. Nimmo should go ahead of me. Yeah. He wanted to go. He wanted to be a big shot and show off in the Derby. And he gets embarrassed in the Home Run Derby and 0-for-1 with the strike. That's all.
There's no, you can't get embarrassed in the Home Run Derby. It's not a real thing. It's a fake made up event.
Yes, I agree. Alonso cares about that like more than anything. So that's why. That's it. But no, outside of that, nothing.
I didn't watch anything either, and to piggyback off of it, I do have to offer a mea culpa and say that I was flat out wrong. I wrote about this today in my column, because last week, I think we had talked about the off-season version of Hard Knocks on HBO with the Giants, and I said I don't have any interest because if the Giants have final edit, what's the point? So this week, with no sports going on with the baseball stuff, I said, all right, let me dip in and at least give it a shot. So I watched all three episodes that have aired, and I was 100% wrong. The off-season version is better than the regular version. I did not think we would get that much inside front office stuff. Now, listen, I think you'll probably appreciate it a little more if you're a Giant fan. I'm not a Giant fan, and I thought it was that. I think if you're a football fan, just to see what happened with Saquon Barkley, you've got the Giants basically saying they want to draft a quarterback while they're trying to say that like they're all in on Daniel Jones, which is fascinating. The way they were preparing for Barkley leaving, and then they had discussions, which you saw, about Devin Singletary, DeAndre Swift, Josh Jacobs, Zach Moss. I'm shocked they have shown what they have shown, pleasantly shocked, because it's a must watch.
Yeah,
but kudos to the Giants.
I thought I told you this last week that you
maybe
would
that's
like it.
Why I decided to watch it. Yeah,
yeah. Only, and I didn't know if it was just me being like into the Giants, but I did find it fascinating. The conversations. Right. I like it better. I'm with you. I like it better than the you know, the preseason one now.
Yeah. Well, I'm not into the Giants at all, and I was riveted. Right. I was shocked they showed what they showed.
Yeah.
It also made me think, like, I don't know, there's a part of me, I mean, we touched on this last week, like, when Brian Daboll is, like, calling out those plays, like, I've always thought, like, NFL coaches want to sound like geniuses and with the code, with the language, you know, why to this, and it's like, how about just throw the ball to get the guy gets open and then you throw it to the guy who's open, but whatever. But I felt the complete opposite in the front office, like listening to the way some of these guys talked about like the players and the unknown and the like they sounded sometimes like us the way they were talking about players in the front office and the Giant front office. If I was a Giant fan, I would not feel like totally confident. Like they didn't seem, everyone seemed unsure. And I don't know. I thought it was a fascinating look at things.
The thing that I learned, and I know we know this, but when you see it on full display like that, is that we always talk about the guy, like Joe Shane's the GM. However, all his lieutenants, all those people are just as, like, he's just like, all right, should we do that? Okay. Right. Yeah, we should do that. Should we go for this guy at $6 million or this guy at $3 million? It's like, what? And now I know ultimately he's making the, I guess, final decisions, but the impact that his entire staff has is, right. I mean, we really shouldn't just be criticizing the GM. It should be everybody in that front office when things go wrong.
Right, right. And I didn't think owner John Mara came off particularly well. I mean, I don't want to lose Saquon. He's our most popular player. John, you're supposed to win games. Doesn't care if the, I mean, that, and you've not won any games with Saquon Barkley and he gets hurt every year. And, you know, he has 7 carries for 5 yards and then has 3 carries for 30 yards. So who cares if he's... Plus, you have no other players on your team who are popular. So, like...
Right, but that's the point of... I thought it was okay. Now, again, he let his football guys make that football decision, which was the right thing to do.
Right.
But the fact that he got bothered by saying, we're going to lose our most valuable player or our most, you know, most popular player to the Eagles was going to be tough with him, and that's exactly what happened. But the Giants did the right thing.
I don't know. I think there's way too much made of losing a player to like someone in the division or like the Yankees and Mets won't make trades. Like it's so silly. Like, I mean, I guess in the division, I don't know.
No, I'm with you. I said this on the air the day after or the day of actually, like, who cares? He's gone. He's not here. What's the difference where he is?
You have to worry about your team. You can't worry about the other team.
Exactly. I've said this for years with the Mets too. Like, oh, typical. The Mets will let him go when the guy goes and has success elsewhere. He wasn't getting it done here. Travis Darnold was one of the worst catchers I've ever seen in my life. So when the Mets finally cut him, I want to throw a party. And then people, oh, yeah, but look what he does with the Rays or the Braves. I don't care. He couldn't do it. Sonny Gray with the Yankees. He sucked here. So who cares if he has success with the Reds afterward?
Right. I think a big part of that, it's a whole side tangent, but is there are people, there are players who can't hack New York, Mets and Yankees for, you know, but that's a whole other thing.
Different than Barkley, obviously, but still same point.
So I was glad. So yeah, so I watched the 3 episodes of Hard Knocks. Highly recommend it. I guess I'll try to maybe dip into the receiver show on Netflix now too. It's getting me starting to get the football, starting to get the juices flowing a little bit for football.
I got to tell you a story about that real quick.
Yeah.
I ripped that show last week, right? You and I were talking about it. I'm like, why would I watch? Like, if I want to watch football, I'm going to watch football. I don't care about behind-the-scenes stuff. One of my good friends who I used to work with is a producer on that show. And I felt bad just ripping it and destroying it. And
so did he hear you rip it?
One of his good friends that is also a producer listens to this all the time. So I kind of preemptively said,
oh, geez.
Hey, just so you know, I wasn't too kind to the receiver. I didn't watch it. So that, but now I will check it out.
How is it that this is my podcast and you're the one who always gets in trouble and I never get in trouble? That's funny.
Oh, God.
And yeah, I'm going to give it a shot. I'll give it a I'm the type of person, like, I don't stick with things if I'm not into it. So I'll give it a shot. I'll see how it goes.
Same. Same.
Because, you know, it is a dead week. I don't even know if the Yankees come back tomorrow or Friday. I guess Friday.
Friday. Yanks are Friday.
Yeah, right. So the next 2 days I'll... And I haven't seen the Yankees in several days because on Sunday they played at 11:30 on Roku. Oh. I mean, Major League Baseball, what an do you know what an embarrassment it is to have a league and to say your game's on Roku? What maybe, an embarrassment Major League Baseball is.
Maybe better off you didn't see that one. But I was in I was in one of those spots where I was at my mother's house for the weekend. There was just nothing I could do. I can't go buy Roku. Couldn't figure it out. There's nothing I could do.
It's funny you say that because I had forgotten. And this is a perfect story. So I'm at my uncle's house. He's having a barbecue. He's got two TVs in his backyard. And, you know, I explained the games on Roku. But he actually downloads it on his – and we got Roku. And it said, you know, Yankees, Orioles. He clicks it. And every time he clicked it, it said, can't play.
Huh. Now, wait, but don't you have to have a subscription to Roku?
No, the game was free.
So you download...
I mean, maybe you have to, like, sign up for an account?
Right, right.
Probably. I don't know if... Oh, okay, yeah. So maybe that... Okay.
I would assume. Right. I don't know. I would assume that that's the case.
My niece was able to get it on her phone, but he couldn't get it on the TV. I'm like, just stop. Who cares? Like, it's not that important. It's ridiculous. Roku. Yeah, but... The Hard Knocks, I'm starting to get like the football, like, let's go. I think the All-Star break for baseball gets me ready. Like, it's time to get the football going.
We got a month and a half of summer. Please don't rush it away. Although it is too hot, but don't rush it away.
I'm not rushing it away. I just want football to start. All right. And then over the weekend, it was like celebrity death after celebrity death. So we got to touch on all of these.
Yeah.
First, Dr. Ruth. Now, you're a couple of years younger than me. So I don't. Do you remember her like show that used to be on like midnight talking about dirty, dirty stuff?
No. I know who she is. I've heard of her, obviously. I don't remember her show.
I remember it because you just couldn't believe this was on TV. And you didn't know half the stuff she was talking about because you didn't know what that, you know, but.
Wish I did discover that.
It was like her talking about the clitoris for a half hour. Like,
yeah. I could have used that info.
I'm sure. She was also a great Howard Stern guest, which leads me into Richard Simmons, who to me is the greatest Howard Stern guest of all time. And I implore anyone, if they're a Howard, just go on YouTube, type in Howard Stern, Richard Simmons, and just watch everything and listen to everything. There's no way you won't laugh your ass off.
My favorite one is the one that you posted with the bag of chips on the fishing pole. Oh my God.
The first thing I ever saw. That's what hooked me into Howard Stern. I never listened to the radio show because I was in high school and you can't listen to a radio show that's on in the morning because you're in school. So like I had no, even if I, and then, but it was his Channel 9 show on Saturday night. The first time I ever saw it, he had Richard Simmons on with the two people who had lost like a ton of weight, and he takes out a fishing pole and starts waving food in front of their faces. And Richard Simmons is flipping out and I'm in tears. First of all, the segment starts. He goes, all right, get out the wide lens. I mean, right off the bat. And Richard Simmons is scolding him and oh my God.
Now I remember seeing that. Now, I don't know if it was just years later, but I remember that also being one of my first memories of Stern Show. That was not on the Butt Bongo Fiesta, right? That was something
totally
different.
No, it was totally on the different. Channel 9, Channel 9 show.
I remember the Butt Bongo Fiesta also, like my friend had it and we watched it one night. That was like one of the big beginnings of my discovering of Stern, but I definitely remember that clip of Richard Simmons. And I got to be honest with you, I thought Richard Simmons had passed away already.
He went into sort of hibernation.
Maybe that's why.
And there was all sorts of rumors and no one knows what was true. I will say there's something shady about what happened because he did an interview with like People Magazine a couple of days before he passed away. And he was starting to post more and more on Facebook. And now something came out, Page Six or something did an interview with him. And he was saying that he was going to do a comeback and try to help people get in shape again. And then like he fell and died. So I'm not a big conspiracy theory person, but yeah, I don't know. I have a feeling you're going to hear more about that story. I'll just say that.
How old was he? Do you know?
76.
Mm, okay.
So, but he, the guy was just, you got to listen to Richard Simmons on how it started. And the funny thing is, like, I have that personality where if if I get fascinated or into something, that's it. So then after I saw that on the Channel 9 show, I would sneak like a Walkman into the high school and try to, in between classes, 5-10 minutes, listen to, you know, in the car driving. So, and then that started the obsession with Howard Stern. So and Howard is off for the summer. So we didn't even get to hear him talk about Richard Simmons, which is a bummer. But when he comes back after Labor Day. And then
he doesn't even do like 2 days. That's it. Nothing.
He's off for July and August.
Wow.
Yeah. Yeah. He has the dream schedule. 3 days a week, and then he's off July and August.
Yeah. It's like you're not even working.
Dream schedule. Yeah. Right. Perfect schedule.
That's how it should be for everybody.
Right. And then the third celebrity death was Shannon Doherty, which was just very sad. I mean, very sad, with cancer, 53 years old. Now, I remember, I mean, 90210 was not just huge when that first came out and first started. I mean, I remember every single kid in my high school watched that show. Like, that was, and it was the talk in the cafeteria. Like, it was because TV shows, there were never, ever new TV shows in the summer. Every show would wrap up. The summer would be off. They would show repeats, and then they come back in September. And Fox was just starting out as a network, and they decided to do, not live, original summer programming and launch 90210. So it was like the only thing on TV that was in repeat, so everybody watched it. And I always preferred the Brenda years to the Valerie years. So now we have to get your opinion.
Yeah. I remember it when it first started. I loved it. I was never the biggest Brenda fan. You know, but I did love the show. It was impactful. And that was one of those, you broke the news to me yet again with that one.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, I gave you that news Sunday morning. Well, first of all, Kelly and Dylan, it was terrible what they did to Brenda. Let's just put that right out there.
That is true.
Okay.
Kelly
Taylor, not a good friend.
Yeah. I was more of a Jenny Garth fan, although... trying to think, who else was there? I love
Donna and Andrea.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, I remember feeling...
You don't like have to like Brenda. It's okay if you didn't like Brenda.
Yeah. But I didn't love... Kelly was probably my favorite, I think. And then I love Tiffany Amber Thiessen, but it did change the whole, you know, vibe. Right.
But the Brenda years were... The show was better in the Brenda years than the Valerie years. That was just, you know.
Right.
The Valerie and Kelly Kapowski, Tiffany Amber Thiessen, it was bizarre that someone from Saved by the Bell came on 90210. I remember that just being a mind fuck. Like, you couldn't comprehend it.
It was like Hulk Hogan and Randy Savage joining WCW.
Right.
Like,
right.
What was going on here?
And then you find out in real life she was dating Brian Austin Green. The whole thing was just a big, everything was confusing. The worlds were colliding, as George Costanza would say. The Emmy nominations came out this right as we taped this, and The Bear set a new record for Emmy nominations. You don't watch The Bear, right?
No, because it's not on a service that I have right now. I want to watch it.
So you don't have Hulu?
Correct. How do you even, why do you have Hulu? Like, I don't understand.
Because I've told you this a million times. There is a bundle with Hulu, ESPN, and Disney Plus, and you get all three for like $12 a month.
No, no way you get all three for $12 a month.
$12.99.
For all three?
Yeah, because right I don't want to have...
I have Disney, and then I just went through a thing because I got switched to Verizon, so it's giving me Disney 6 months free. So now I'm on that run. At some point, I do want to watch The Bear. I'm hoping it gets to Netflix.
Do you have ESPN?
Plus, not like ESPN Plus.
Oh, you don't?
No. What do I need that for? What's on there?
Well, there's NFL games on there, exclusive.
I don't think I missed a game. So how do I? Oh, maybe. No, wait.
The international, like they had I think they had an exclusive London game last year.
Yeah, I missed
at
that.
At 9:30, right?
Yeah.
But yeah, because you don't. I mean, ESPN Plus is phenomenal if you're into college football.
Yeah.
Which you're not.
I don't need it.
Right. So how did you get Disney free for 6 months?
It was one of the things in Verizon. They offered if you switch to Verizon, you get $200 gift cards, a Nintendo Switch, and Disney Plus for free for 6 months.
Good Lord.
Yeah.
But you just have Verizon for internet, right?
Well, yeah, but now, yes, and I have YouTube TV.
Right. So they gave you all that stuff just for having Verizon internet.
Correct.
Not bad.
Yeah, and I could use it toward my Verizon bill, which I was like, okay, so basically $400 free. And right. then it's months. It's only like $80 or whatever it is, $70 a month. I feel like it's a good deal. And I haven't missed cable at all, honestly, as of now. I don't know if that's going to be an issue, but I haven't missed it now.
I think if I got rid of cable, I don't think I would miss channels. I just miss the comfort, ease, flipping the channels. Like that's.
I know.
I mean, as I get older and older and older, I watch fewer and fewer and fewer channels.
Right. Right.
So I don't think there'd be anything I'd miss.
We watch mostly Netflix anyway, or HBO. You know, I got HBO for a couple of different things, but the stuff on actual TV, minimal.
I'm trying to think. Yeah, I don't know. I just like... Put on ESPN, put on the MLB Network.
I know.
You know, like that's,
You could still do that. It's just different finding it. And you get used to it eventually. Like it caters more to you. Like I put Seinfeld on there and I just got Seinfeld episodes up the wazoo on YouTube TV that are just pop up. So I watch that a lot more than I would because it's there in front of my face now.
There really could be a psychological study about this because that's my thing. I would never, ever sit at home. Go to Netflix and put on Seinfeld. Never.
Right. Me neither.
If I'm flipping the channels at 11 o'clock and I come across channel 11 and Seinfeld's on, then I watch it.
Yeah, it's funny you say that because I guess I didn't even realize that I had them all on Netflix. But because of YouTube TV and it pops up when I go on TV, I'm like, oh, I'm going to play this one now and I'm doing something, whatever, and I have it on. It's been great. But I'm not going to sit there and dedicate a half hour to it or whatever through Netflix. It's so interesting.
I think I asked you this the last time, but I forgot. YouTube TV, you have Yes and SNY?
I do not.
Right. That would be a problem for me.
Understood. The MLB app, is another way, but obviously you get the local blackout. So that is the biggest problem.
So how do you watch the Mets and Yankees?
I have a thing that we use.
Oh, you're in the TV business. I got it. Right. So that makes sense. Okay. I got it. Are you into the college football video game that came out?
No. Are you? Okay.
No, but you're more of a video game guy than me.
No, you and I play the same video games. I haven't bought a new system in probably 20 years. I don't play the new stuff. I would just play like Nintendo or Genesis.
Got it. I didn't realize that. Okay. Yeah. I never had a PlayStation, an Xbox, a Wii.
You didn't even get that far. I never had Xbox. No. I had a PlayStation 2, I think, was my last new system.
Right.
I'm okay to find time to watch the games or watch TV, let alone, I don't know how people do it, how adults do it.
Right. I agree. All right. And so anything we need to know about for the rest of your vacation?
No, I'm hoping to finish the, I downloaded at your suggestion, the Kramer book. I'm listening to it, Audible. I signed up for Audible and got a free credit for a month. I'm loving it. Loving every minute of it. But I hope to finish that, get some stuff done around the house, relax. I mean, it goes too fast though. It's already Wednesday. You know what I mean?
I get very nervous when I give out a recommendation and someone doesn't like it. Throws me off.
I told other people about it. I'm like, oh, Jimmy said that this book is must read if you're a Seinfeld fan. So,
but again, I hope you gave him the context where he said it's the second half of the book that's everything Seinfeld. And then before,
I don't even mind the beginning because he's kind of like he's intertwining the two, which I
just
don't
want people to think, oh, it's going to be 400 pages on Seinfeld. Like, I just want people to be prepared. All right. I was going to give a recommendation for a pizza place, but I'm not going to do that. All right.
Why? I saw your tweet. I saw your tweet about it.
Yeah. It was good. I put it on Instagram. They didn't even see it. So what's the point?
Ah, okay.
That I want something in return, but at least acknowledge,
So, this is on Long Island?
Yeah, Huntington.
Okay.
Yeah. All right, Sal.
All right.
We will see you next week. Enjoy the rest of your vacation. Next week, it'll be the 24th. We got still got two more weeks of July. Once it's August, then we can, then the football really comes into focus.
Yeah.
All right.
All right.
Take it easy.
Talk to you later.
Later. All right, that wraps it up for this week's show. My many thanks to Noah Eagle and to Sal Licata. Hopefully you guys enjoyed it. If you did, leave a review on Apple. If you're not a subscriber to SI Media with Jimmy Traina, make sure you hit that subscribe button. Make sure you catch up on past episodes. We had Ben Fisher from Sports Business Journal on the pod last week to talk about the NFL losing a big, big lawsuit with an antitrust lawsuit with people who had Sunday Ticket. Jason McCourty on the podcast 2 weeks ago, talk about his departure from Good Morning Football. Pablo Torre on the pod 3 weeks ago, talk about his very unique podcast. Derek Jeter, Tom Brady, also recent guests on SI Media with Jimmy Traina. So if you missed any of those episodes, go check them out. Hit that subscribe button and leave a review on Apple. We'll read it on an upcoming episode. All right, that wraps it up. We'll see you next week. Stay safe and take care.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger. For thousands of appetizing ingredients that inspire countless mouthwatering meals. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week, and up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with points. So you can get big flavors and big savings. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.